You hear, the topic Alistair gave me this evening is truth, the issue of truth. What a way to start your Lenten series, truth. I don't know what you think about truth, but truth is under question these days. Almost saying, is there such a thing as truth? This is a Chinese proverb, which you've probably come across before, where we drew our title from. There are three truths. There's my truth, there's your truth, and then there's the truth. That's worked its way into different songs, different sentiments, of course. And I just wonder what you think about that, how you react to that. In society, isn't it the case that truth is under question? It's not possible to establish the truth anymore. The question is, what is the truth? What is it? What is the concept? But for the Christian, they tend to head in another direction around the question of truth. And the question more fundamentally that they ask is, who is truth? Quite often, truth and freedom seem to conflict, seem to collide. Truth is important. Today, truth, of course, this assumed conflict, truth is seen to oppress. Truth is seen to be something that takes away and removes your freedom. Truth is seen to be something that's actually very, very dangerous. Now, I don't know about you, you may not have come across this before. If you try to say something that's true, almost as if in eternal categories, this is the eternal truth in all times and in all places, you get into bother. So if you have a particular opinion that you want to express, and you say this is binding on everyone everywhere, regardless of your skin colour, regardless of your socioeconomic, your sociopolitical background, if you try to claim that, you will get into trouble. If you even think that, almost, you will be marginalised, possibly laughed at in culture and society. You are seen as, if you say there is such a thing as truth, eternal truth, truth that is true for everyone, you're oppressing. You're taking away my freedom. You're dangerous, in fact. Really dangerous. Because all that you're interested in is power. This was part of a Supreme Court, United States of America, ruling. This way, because I can't see it otherwise. It's all right. It's all right. We'll bring it closer. Yeah. It's to do with middle age. You wouldn't know anything about that yet. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of life. Now, those words, you may never have heard of them before. You may have never read that quote. You might have. You might be interested in US Supreme Court law and rulings. But this from 1992 was in the mind, certainly the popular mind within America, maybe even not being familiar with this particular ruling, which incidentally Planned Parenthood, southeastern Pennsylvania, against Casey. That was that particular court case. The ruling said, at the heart of liberty, at the heart of freedom, being free is the right, fundamental right, to define one's own concept of existence. In other words, you are the one who makes up your reality. You have the right to do so. And how dare anyone try to take that away? If you have someone who says there is truth, well, that person is dangerous, because what they will try to do is take your right to self-identification away. The reading that we had tonight, Jesus says that truth will make you free. You remember that? It was just read a moment ago. To the Jews who had believed him, that's Jesus, the Jews who believed him, John chapter 8, you can check this out, page 1074 in the Bibles in front of you. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Okay, well, you can kind of, well, accept that. Because if Jesus is who he says he is and who it is said that he is, well, he's got a right to express an opinion which is some kind of significant influence over others. If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. So if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, what's the definitive thing? Is it a certain type of clothing that you wear? Is it a certain hairstyle? Is it a certain way you speak? Well, no, it's to do with the teaching of Jesus. That's how authentic Christian discipleship is measured, from the teaching of Jesus. Then, verse 32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here are the categories that Jesus uses. He says, first of all, there is truth. There is such a thing as truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those words are very familiar, I think, to churchgoers, to people who've been hanging around Christians for quite a while. You will be familiar with those words. But they're actually quite striking for the 21st century, aren't they? Because the connection is between truth and freedom. There is a thought out there, isn't it, that truth actually restricts freedom. This is the reverse of how we naturally think. This is the reverse of how culture naturally thinks. No freedom, it thinks, if we have to obey the truth. No freedom, culture thinks, if we have to obey your truth. No freedom, Christian, if we have to obey your truth, particularly. Where does all this come from? Culture is changing. Culture always changes, of course. Culture is changing, I suppose, in different parts of Ireland at different rates. Compare Belfast to Dublin. Compare Dublin to Galway. Compare Galway to Limerick. Compare Limerick to other parts of the Republic of Ireland. It changes. Culture changes at different rates, moves in different directions at different speeds. But by and large, what we have in culture is this idea becoming dominant, that there is no such thing as truth. That, in fact, has become the truth. That there is no such thing as truth. Where does this come from? Well, there are various men. I'm going to quote. Don't worry about them, but just hear what they say. Michel Foucault is a French philosopher of the 20th century. There's a lot of interesting stuff that he's written, a lot of interesting perspective that he had. When I was in theological college in Dublin, we did read him a bit. I didn't have a clue what he meant. But actually, when you began to break down what's happening in society and culture, you realise some of this might actually stem from Michel Foucault. He was French. He said this: truth is a thing of this world, not eternal, not beyond this world. It is produced only by virtue of multiple forms of constraint, and it induces regular effects of power. The connection between truth, which is this worldly, the connection between truth and power, he highlights. The connection between the potential abuses of truth, indeed purpose of truth, to restrain people. In fact, to bully people. Michel Foucault, 20th century. 19th century, Friedrich Nietzsche. All things are subject to interpretation. Whichever interpretation prevails at a given time is a function of power. So, from the middle of the 19th century, then developed into the 20th century, there is this connection and suspicion around the concept of truth. That is a form of manipulation, a form of power. All things subject to interpretation. There is nothing fixed. There is nothing eternal. It's just your perspective. But whenever your perspective becomes dominant, domineering, and indeed even having a perspective and expressing that perspective and branding it truth, it's about you having power. It's about, so for example, the Christian who says that there's only one way to heaven, that there is only one true expression of God, and every other religion is untrue, opposite of Christianity. Nietzsche would say, you're saying that, Trevor, you're saying that, Alistair, you're saying that, Christian, in 21st century Dublin, simply because you want to rule. You're after power. You're power hungry. You want to bully. You want to manipulate. In fact, you're the wicked one. Christian, you used to point out how, well, various lifestyles, various moralities were evil. But now, Christian, you've become evil because you're seeking to bully, you're seeking to hold power, you're seeking to reduce my freedom. Now, of course, what we could say back to Nietzsche, what we could say back to Michel Foucault is, actually, do you see what you're saying? You're trying to do that. By saying this, you're trying to gain power. You're trying to be dominant. You can't do a talk on this kind of thing without mentioning this Ulster man. You've heard of him, I trust, from Belfast. He's much more posh than I am, Alistair. It's from Belfast. Isn't that right? East Belfast? A wee bit. He admitted that he grew up fairly close to CSS. He said, so we have to feel the force of this. I'll go back a bit. We have to feel the force of this. If you're a Christian and you're trying to find your place in society, you have to feel the force of this. This argument against you. Friedrich Nietzsche, all things subject to interpretation, and those interpretations are all just a power play. You have to feel the force of that. And you have to come back and say, well, actually, maybe you're saying that is your particular power play. We have to feel the force of both those things, but C.S. Lewis will say this, you cannot go on explaining away forever. This is from the book, The Abolition of Man. You will find that you have explained explanation itself away. You cannot go on seeing through things forever. The whole point of seeing through something is to see something through it. It is good that the window should be transparent because the street or garden beyond it is opaque. How if you saw through the garden too? It is no use trying to see through first principles. If you see through everything, then everything is transparent. But a wholly transparent world is an invisible world. To see through all things is not the same as to see. Truth and freedom. Truth, Jesus would say, is important. Truth, Jesus would say, is attainable. Truth, Jesus would say, is fixed and eternal. The issue of freedom. Freedom is much more complex than at first thought, at first sight. We think that freedom is being absolutely free of any kind of constraint whatsoever. Culture thinks that. Culture tries to attain this particular form of freedom, but it doesn't really think about it, I want to say. It tries to contain a certain freedom that is a bit like this. In order to be free, you've got to create your own truth for that freedom. You've got to create your own reality. You've got to create from the inside how you think of yourself, and then you'll be free. We see this in particular forms of argument today relating to gender and gender identity. Gender is no longer a given. Gender is, instead of between the legs, to quote Chaz Bono, instead of being between the legs, it is between the ears. So create your own self, and then you will be free. But the difficulty is the facts get in the way, don't they? Those facts that remain are stubborn. As I was driving up the road tonight from the Grand Hotel, did I mention that? From the Grand Hotel, I knew Malahide Presbyterian Church was on the right-hand side. The facts got in the way, though, because I drove into, well, what's called Casino, right? I wanted to believe that that was Malahide Presbyterian Church. I imagined the massive complex, because Alistair's a big minister, and you know, and all those sorts of things, a big complex. And of course, to fund his lavish lifestyle, the only acceptable thing for him is a casino. I imagine, and I wanted that to be the case. I wanted to create my own free, but the facts got in the way. What I had to do was sit uncomfortably and awkwardly across the road, trying to turn. I'm glad no one was here to see that, particularly him, because I'd have been very, very embarrassed if someone had their camera phone out. The facts get in the way, don't they? Imagine you're this goldfish. Would you say this goldfish is free? Where is the goldfish? Well, I'm not sure that the picture conveys. This goldfish is out of the water. A goldfish, I want to be free, jumps out of the water tank. Is the goldfish free? The facts get in the way, and the fact of the goldfish's created for environment gets in the way of the goldfish's freedom. It's a bit difficult, isn't it, for that poor goldfish? Because what will happen? Will he flourish? No, he'll flounder. The facts get in the way. The facts also get in the way when it comes to middle age and diet. There comes a time when you cannot eat 6 Big Macs in one go. When I was a student, we had a competition. Maybe he wants the term, how many Big Macs could you eat? Right? This has never bothered him. Do you not like them?
Six.
Six, yeah. What's wrong? I'm a real man. But there comes a time, doesn't there, when the doctor will say, I'm afraid you can't do that anymore. The facts get in the way. I want to believe and create the freedom that I'm still that 21-year-old or 19-year-old student who could eat anything, a fish supper. A couple of them. Have you heard of it? Do you have fish suppers? Yes, you do. A fish supper, a couple. I imagined that I could eat many fish suppers at the time, and there was a time that I could, but the facts, my age, get in the way. Those attempts to create our own freedom. Freedom is a much more complex thing. A husband and a wife, for example. What does freedom mean for a husband? Does it mean living as he lived as a single man? The husband might believe that it is. The husband might want to create that freedom. But the reality, the facts, get in the way. Unfortunately, and you will know of these stories where a husband or a wife attempt to live as if they weren't married, as if they weren't in this marriage relationships. The facts get in the way. So freedom is a much more complex thing than on first reckoning. Okay, truth is important. We cannot walk away from Jesus' words and say, actually, there's no such thing as truth. By the way, whenever someone says to you, there's no such thing as truth, well, that's a truth claim in itself. Don't forget that. Whenever you're talking to people, and perhaps you're a Christian, you may not be a Christian. You may even, if you're not a Christian, you may even think this kind of thing yourself. There's no such thing as truth. That in itself is a truth claim. There's no such thing as absolutes. Well, that in itself is an absolute. Truth is important. The facts get in the way. Freedom is complex. But Jesus, as he says here, liberates completely. Liberates entirely. There is a verse in the Bible which, if you're Church of Ireland, you'll be very familiar with. It's one of those once a year verses. You hear it perhaps just once a year. At carol services, it's normally the ninth reading at nine lessons in carols. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Remember the rest of that. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. Now, whenever John chose the word Word, he was writing in Greek, the word Word is logos. We draw our logic word from it. Meaning, eternal definitions. In the beginning was the logos. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was this outside of our existence reality who speaks into our reality. In the beginning was the word. Now, the word in Greek culture at the time was one of those words which spoke of, well, great philosophical thinking. The mind-blowing thinking of the Greek philosophers. It was all concepts. It was all out there. It was all, as my father would say, airy fairy. Or as he would say, he's from South Armagh. I grew up in South Armagh, by the way, just along the border, a place called Newton Hamilton, if you've heard of it. And it would have been airy fairy, like that. That's how he would have said it, right? You see, whenever John speaks of that logos, that word, John, who wrote John's gospel, when he speaks of the word, he speaks of the word as, well, something seeable. It's not verse 18, by the way, that's a mistake. It's verse 14. We have seen his glory. See, that's the fascinating thing about the great claims of Christianity. That Jesus, God, was seeable. That if you'd walk past Jesus in the local Tesco or the local Grand Central Hotel, brushed past him, you'd have brushed past God himself. That's the incredible claim of Christianity. God walked, God talked, God breathed the air. God, when he was a baby, had his nappy changed. Truly God. Jesus was truly God. Truly man. The logos. The outside of us explanation. In fact, it's a word closely linked with truth. And of course, we read in John chapter 14, as Jesus described himself, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth will set you free. Jesus liberates completely. The difficulty with Michel Foucault, the difficulty with Friedrich Nietzsche, the difficulty with the ideas that you cannot attain or understand really what life is about. The truth doesn't exist. It's really just a matter of interpretation to suit you, and it's just a power play. The difficulty with that is that the entire vision of that, the abstract vision of that, is that it dehumanizes. It reduces you. It reduces other human beings to, well, just spirited dust. The abstract dehumanizes. But the absolute, Jesus, is personal. A man. A human being. A tangible, touchable, hearable human being. Jesus himself describes himself as a human being. He is as the truth. Jesus himself is described as the truth. In the beginning was the Word. This Word beyond us. About us. Without truth, there is no meaning. Without a word from outside of us, we're just dust. Without a word from outside of us, well, without truth, who are we? The abstract dehumanizes. The absolute Jesus is personal. You'll know the story, and this time of the year we're thinking particularly, our thoughts are heading towards Easter weekend, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. This person, Jesus, who became a man, God who became a man, in the beginning was the Word, Logos. The truth became human, and then he died to liberate. What more personal can you get than the truth, who subjects himself, who does not try to hold on to anything, but empties himself of all of those attempts, becomes a slave to death, even to death on a cross. Why? Well, to free us so that we may live and know and enjoy God forever. The truth became a human and died to liberate. So tonight, what is your truth? Is Jesus your truth? What is the truth? Is it Jesus? A really good question for you to engage with at this point in Lent, these 40 days. When we pause, when we draw aside, when we take time, when we take stock. In a world that's bombarded with opinion, in a world where it is claimed that any attempt that you make to define things, to pin things down, to say, actually, no, this is true, in a world where that's rejected and you're just dismissed as power hungry, power crazed, and a bully. Pause. Press pause on that. And think about the logic of that position. It dehumanizes human beings. But come back to what Jesus has said to the Jews who had believed in him. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from the fundamental questions, actually. Because in knowing Jesus, you're knowing the truth. I'm going to pray. Is that all right? Let's pray. And then you can hand me over to the wolves if you want to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you sent Jesus. We praise you that the Word became flesh, became human. He dwelt among us, not away from us, but dwelt among us. And we praise you that we have seen his glory, which was full of grace and truth. We pray that we may bow our hearts towards him, who is the true and living God. And in bowing our hearts towards him, that we may be liberated in a world of confusing and competing ideas. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would know Jesus. And in knowing Jesus is to know eternal life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.